go. And I'm going to read the first six verses, and I am going to comment on the first five verses, although that has nothing really to do with where I want this, but try to grab the context of Scripture and to go ahead and give you a little Sunday school lesson before my lesson, a sermon before the sermon, because a lot of times this Scripture is misunderstood and used against us by those that are without. Verse number one, judge not, that you be not judged. Amen. That's a sinner's, some of the sinner's favorite verse in the Scripture. Exactly. Judge not that you be not judged. Don't point your finger at me. But they don't understand the Scripture. This judgment is not the judgment that comes as if you were in a trial with a judge casting judgment against the law. This judge not that you be not judged is a preconceived idea. Everyone heard the word prejudice? We're hearing it a lot these days. PRE is a prefix. All right. Prejudge. That's what it's talking about here. Prejudiced. Don't prejudge people. And I got this example. Do you ever wear short sleeve shirts now? Okay. Brother Chris, before salvation, got some tattoos. I don't think you will after salvation. For those that are still getting them, that kind of tells you a whole lot about them. Anyway, so he got those tattoos before salvation. And he's getting them removed. But I'm using this way. If he should walk in the back of a church that he's never been in before. Now, we know his testimony. We, many of you, seen the way he was before salvation and see how he walks now. And probably could testify, he testifies that God saved him, and we and those of you that knew him before salvation can probably testify that there is a change in his life, that there is a change in his walk, that there is a change in his conversation, but say he goes to a church that don't know him. But they happen to glance, whether he has a short sleeve shirt on, or they kind of happen to see the little bit that's exposed on his hand. Judge not, that you be not judged. Don't prejudge Chris just from your first impression of him walking in the door. That's what it's talking about here. And it goes on to say, for with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Bottom line is, the way that you judge another, how quick that you prejudge somebody, how quick that you show prejudice to somebody, they may show prejudice and prejudgment toward you. Don't give you a chance to introduce yourself. Don't give you a chance to testify of the God-saving grace in your life. They may just see some little something and, you know, prejudge something in your life. I don't like them because, they look funny. They come up in conversation down there around the table, one of the round tables, of a message that was preached apparently at Faith Baptist Camp. I knew that it was preached at Stone Mountain, Georgia. And I don't think people take time to really listen to the message sometimes. Because of some of the statements that was around there. I've listened to the same message several times and I don't find nothing wrong with it. And it's entitled, Here Come the Pharisees. Here comes the prejudgers. It could have been pronounced. Because There was a day and time, and this probably come in the late 70s. This message was probably birthed in the late 70s, early 80s, where, you know, because of the hippie movement in the 60s, wire-rimmed glasses come to fruition. So they judge anybody with a wire-rimmed glass to be a hippie, just like the hippies do. You know, if the hippies eat beans and cornbread, I'm not going to stop eating beans and cornbread just because the hippies do. You know what I mean? But because a wire-rimmed glasses or because of somebody wearing a pair of cowboy boots or whatever, and that might be associated with a certain group, then they prejudged you. I'm talking churches prejudged you. Churches that claim that they love sinners and churches that wanted sinners to come in that message, Brother Ed Ballou preached, here come the Pharisees. He spoke, there's this one woman, every church service, she was burdened for her son. She asked every church service, she asked prayer that her lost son would come in. But because of standards, the Pharisaical standards of the church about hair. You know, the Pharisee, he told the Pharisees, and he told the Pharisees, he said, look, you are whited sepulchers. You've cleaned up the outside. You got your hair right. You're wearing your suit and tie. Their garments had scriptures embroidered around the edges. Said, you're all cleaned up on the outside, but the inside is as dead men's bones. And so Brother Ed Ballou was simply pointing that out among independent Baptist preachers. Said, look, you've got certain standards. You are just cleaning up the outside. You want everybody to clean up the outside, but you've got to clean up the inside first. And so anyway, this woman testified in this church. I testified, she requested prayer for her lost son. And when the lost son come in and his hair was out of standard, the pastor said he couldn't come in with hair. And he said, well, I will never be back. Does that show the love of God for the lost sinner? No. And so that whole message was filled up with examples like that, really. And in the day that it was preached in, was right on time, right on target. But people in that conversation down at camp attributed the, you know, preaching on sin. Let me show you something, just real quick. And again, this is, we're going to get to the message. Let me see if I, yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse number 12. Let's go verse number 13. Judge in yourselves, since we're dealing with judgment. Judge in yourselves, is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? Nature tells you that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. Here, and people want to stop right there. Independent Baptist preachers that I know and love don't ever preach 16. Never. I dealt with this in Sunday school one time and was told with a finger in my face, it is a custom here. Okay. But if any man seem to be contentious, we have no custom, neither the churches of God. It's a shame, nature says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. But again, if a man should have long hair come in, that I know because their testimony, they don't know Christ, I'm not going to turn them around because they have long hair. Now, if they come in half naked, we might have to do something about that. Put them some clothes on them. But at the same time, I'm not going to turn away a sinner. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? That's what I've been talking about. Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. Here comes the Pharisees. Thou hypocrite. First, cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. In other words, examine yourself first. Remember when you were lost? How long was your hair? Remember when you was lost? How dirty were your clothes? How ragged were your clothes? How was your home life? But God saved you, began to work in you, cleaned you up on the inside, which is now reflected on the outside. So, lots of times we just need to... That's what that all means. Don't prejudge people. And remember where you were. And check out the beam in your eye before you look at others and their motes that's in their eye. Now, where do I want to get to? Give not that which is holy unto dogs. Neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you, dear God, for your love, your mercy, and your graces, Lord. I stand in need of help this morning and pray and ask that you'll guide me and direct me in the thoughts. Lord, I feel burdened in my heart, Lord, knowing that I have been guilty of what I'm preaching. God, I pray that you'll help the saints of God. And Lord, if there's one here this morning that's lost, I pray that today would be the day, Lord, that you convict them of their sins and draw them unto thee, that they might step out and come and, as was mentioned in the Sunday school hour, simply let go and let God. Simply believe in the heart that you might save them. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. We ask and pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. The title of my message is, While Looking at the Swine, Don't Miss the Prodigal. Brother Kenny testifying, he said, I see so much. He's a correctional officer. My son's a correctional officer. My oldest son's a correctional officer. And he tells me some of the things. Some of the things he sees. They see the base of the base coming into the jail. Both of them. Both men, and when they talk about doing body searches and the things that they find and just, you know, the depravity. I mean, they will make, you know, jailhouse liquor. They just can't get away from it. They're going to find a way to get a high, some if they can. And the things that they do while sitting in jail. The depravity of man, they see the base of the base, the worst of the worst. And as a Christian, Brother Kenny testifying that, it affected him. Because they see it every day, just like righteous Lot. He's seen unrighteous Sodom and Gomorrah and the things that was happening. And the Bible says that it vexed his soul. It vexed his spirit. It vexed him within. I never had heard the word vex until I married Lisa and got around my father-in-law. And I think the son-in-law's vexed him a time or two. I know the grandchildren vexed him a time or two. But that vexation that came upon Lot just because he seen the things that he was seeing day in and day out. And we as Christians can get vexed like Lot. We can see the swine. And we look back to this verse and it tells us that which is holy, don't to give it to dogs. But again, this comes right after five verses that tells us to be careful when we do judge. Make sure that we're right first. It doesn't say that we're not to judge. We can look at folks and lots of times judge that they're lost. Sometimes we can't. Sometimes we can. We can look at folks and judge that, you know, that they're from this side of the tracks or that side of the tracks. We can tell a whole lot about people's conversation in judgment. But in judging them, make sure that we're right with God. That's what it's talking about in the first five verses. And we that go out with the gospel, when it says not to take that which is holy and cast it to the dogs, or neither cast ye your pearls before swine, this is great, great price, like pearls. And just to take it and to cast it out before swine to be trodden underfoot, or lest they trample them under their feet and then turn again and rend you. It's one thing for me to be wise enough to take this to where it would be received instead of going down into the crowd that has no thought of God, the dogs and the swine. And to try to go down into a crowd of swine and to give them this great riches, the great riches of the Word of God and the great truths in the Word of God, for them simply just to cast them down. You handed out a tract before, and about 10 steps up the road, they drop it on the ground. That's what's going to happen when you give the pearl to the swine. They're not even going to take time to consider eternity. They're not going to take time to consider what you're out there for. There are people that come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. There are some people that will sit down and reason together. They will take a moment and listen to you. They will take the time to read the gospel tract and to stick it into their pocket. But there's so many of them that are nothing but dogs, that are nothing but swine, that when we give them this great riches and we give them these pearls, they just cast it down. And then, if you're not careful, they'll turn it around and rend you. They will attack you. And we've seen that. You could say we could pick our battles. Why would, you know, I go down in the midst of the swine by myself, for one, when bodily harm could come my way? I mean, unless God, you know, like Wendy Bagwell, he was in a church singing, and it was one of them churches that handled rattlesnakes. And of course, he tells in his story, he said, one of the sisters come by him later on and said, "Now, Brother Wendy," said, if God told Moses to take up a serpent, if God told you to take up a serpent, would you not take up a serpent? And he said, "Sister," he said, "if God told me I would, your God told me I would, but He ain't and I didn't." You know, so that kind of thing. If God told me to go down, if God told me like Jonah to go to this great city, Nineveh, then I'd go. And if God told me to deliver this message, then I would deliver it. But again, this is after judging, making sure I'm right, and judging and learning the discernment of these things, but learning when to give out that which is holy and when to give out that, you know, those pearls of great price. However, we're on a fine line here. And that's the first thought that come into my mind when Brother Kenny was testifying of the fine line between the pigs and the prodigal. That was my first title. Because so many of us good independent Baptists want to run to verse number 6 and said, I'm not giving this out to them. They're just going to cast it down. But we forget that maybe standing on the edge of the hog pen is a prodigal. Let's turn to 2 Peter. And we kind of, and I'm going to read this, and as I was reading this and preparing the message, I was like just amazed at how current the Word of God is. 2 Peter chapter 2. So I'm going to read this. I'm going to be deliberate in my reading. And I want you to listen in light of current events. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. We can stop right there and just, I mean, that's all these natural root beasts and all these right in the daytime, that's what's in store for them. Amen. The midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. I'm going to go back to that verse in a minute. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. So I'm going to go back up to verse number 18. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, two words here, they allure. Who do they allure? Who are they drawing out with their big speeches out there on the streets today in riot? The young people that may have been brought up in church. I talked with my aunt yesterday. She's a good Republican. She's lost. She's one of those that takes the ground of whatever God that you want to believe in. You know, there's many roads to one place. That's her mindset. She's dabbled in Indian religions. I'm talking American Indian religions, and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And it's just, she respects everybody for their belief. You know, if I want to believe the way I believe, that's fine with me. But again, you know, she's not going to go that direction, so on and so forth. The one time she did go to church with me, she wore a bandana with skulls on it. Anyway. But I talked with her yesterday, and we have some very liberal mutual relatives, you know, and it was just blowing her mind. And because, you know, she says, I have been off of Facebook for a while, and I get on there and told the relative and said, what's going on? She should know better. Talking about this and talking about that and so on and so forth. And but again, young people, allured. They allure. Who allures? The ones that speak great swelling words of vanity. Allure how? Through the lust of the flesh and through much wantonness. Who do they allure? Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. They were clean escaped from them. They had been taught right, maybe. They had lived right, maybe. We see that down in verse number 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So they had the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but were re-entangled with. They are, again, entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. You can go back to the ones that received the seed. There was ones that just fell upon stony ground. That's the dogs and that's the pigs. It didn't even take root at all. But there's some that received with joy. And on with joy, I believe the word says. They received with joy. There was a little sprig, but by and by, the heat hit it and it withered away. They made that little profession. They tried to clean themselves up in their own power. They said, nope, this is not for me. Whether they were entangled again, they were pulled back, they were lured back to the world. They say, well, I tried that church thing. And it just wasn't for me. Too many rules. I had to give up too much stuff. You don't have to give up anything. Yeah, your want still to gain the world. But in gaining the world, you'll lose your own soul. And like that one that I mentioned last night, in religion is going to die and go to hell because of what she believed in. Believes in currently. And that's where so many people are. And the Bible says your end will be worse than your beginning. You received it a little bit. You like that sow that was washed. There it is right here. And the sow that was washed returning to her mire. We were up in Canada on a hog farm. There was a fellow that had invited us over for dinner, me and my family, and Andrew had never been around any hogs. Of course, they had at one time they had several thousand head of hogs. They were down to just a few hundred when we were up there. But he wanted to see the pigs. And so the path kind of went down. He had to open the gate and went down and kind of made a turn, and they had this Quonset hut type shelter over the pig lot. And so Andrew wanted to go see the pigs, and he made that turn, and then he was coming running back going. And I said, what, son? He said, the smell, Daddy. I said, take that smell, and when the Bible talks about mire and the sow returning to her mire, that word mire is what you're smelling. That word mire is what you're seeing. and we went on down to the hog lot, that word mire is what was covering up that pig as they wallowed around. You can clean it up, but you let it go. You put a ribbon around it, show it at 4-H. Take it back out to the farm. Take the ribbon. You don't even have to take the ribbon off of it. They don't care about no ribbon. Just put it back in its lot, and it's going to find the mud hole, and it's going to find the mire. The mire is its feces mixed in with the mud. And it's going to wallow around in it and be happy. I think every young person should go to a pig farm and experience the smell, experience the sights, so that they can see that that is sin and a picture of sin. And so, I couldn't help but to think, and I think Brother Chris brought this out actually the other day, somewhere along the way, Luke 11:24, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. He saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, cleaned up. So many times people, under their own accord, want to clean up. I'm going to do right. I'm going to do better. I'm going to make promises. And whether you're making promises to grandma or make promises to daddy or mama, I don't know. You make promises and you try to do better and you try to clean up. You sweep and you garnish your house, but you're still empty of the Spirit of God. You're still empty of Christ. You of your own accord have washing the sow. You of your own accord have cleaned up the dog. But a dog is a dog is a dog is a dog. And it's going to puke and it's going to go back and lick it up. That's why I don't let dogs lick me on the face. I've seen too many dogs do just that very thing. And you want to gritty up a sow, put a little perfume on her, show her at 4-H, take her down to market, say, look what big, pretty sow I got. But then they turn it back loose. Everybody needs to just go down to the stockyards. Walk around on that platform above all the lots. You see a little mire down there too. A little smell down there too. And that's a picture of sin. And that's a picture of what some people get cleaned up off of, but they never have the Spirit of God within them. They never have Christ within them. They've never experienced a new birth. And by, they're going to return to the vomit. And by, they will return to the mire. But we as Christians, we want to see the negative. I don't want to cast my pearl before swine. I don't want to give great riches to the dogs. I'm not going to take the gospel to them because why? I've prejudged them. Oh, they're just a dog. They're just a swine. And they may be. But Luke chapter 15, where we was last Sunday night. Luke chapter 15. God, help us. Verse number 14. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land. And he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husk of that swine, with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. While looking at the swine, we've judged men, and we say, why do we want to go And I have went to them and went to them and went to them and went to them. And they've rejected time and again. But, and maybe they are the swine. Maybe they will never come to Christ. But maybe there's somebody, when you're talking to them, that's sitting next to them that will receive. You go down to the hog. You go down to this hog pen in Luke chapter 15, and you see nothing but swine. But you don't realize that dirty fellow over there in the corner that's hungering and thirsting after bread. That person can be reached. We just go down and we look at the hogs. We go down and we see the mire. We smell the mire. We fail to see that one over in the corner. Should it keep us from going? No, it shouldn't keep us from going. Yes, there are times in discernment. And yes, there are times in the Word of God that says, if they will not receive you, then dust your feet. I get that. There's that fine line between the swine and the prodigal. But having that spiritual discernment and not to prejudge, you know, it's just a balancing act. Having discernment, don't prejudge, but get good judgment. Look, make sure that we're right first. That we're walking with God first, that we're walking in the Spirit first, that the Spirit of God is guiding us and directing our paths. God, and praying, God, send me to the sinner. Send me to the one that will receive the Word. Send me to the one that will receive this pearl of great price, the gospel. And to realize that when we do come across a hog, when we do come across a swine, that there may be somebody in the next room that's that prodigal that will receive. When we be faithful to maybe invite the one, and maybe that when we invite the one, even though that they'll never receive it, they might clean and garnish themselves. They might have seven more demons, have seven more devils. I never did finish that. In Luke chapter 11, when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished, so stop there. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That's what happens to a whole lot of times with people that just come and clean up. They never get it. They, by their own power, clean themselves up. They go through the triple A, you know, or AA, or whatever other self-help program to get clean, and they think that they're fine, but then, if they're not careful, they're clean, they're swept and garnished. I've been off the bottle, or I've been off the drugs for, under my own power, under this program, they sweep and garnish, but under the wrong influences in their lives, they're going to go out, and that one's going to go out and get seven more devils. And they're going to be worse off more in the end than in the beginning. You want cleaned up? Let Jesus clean you. Amen. And I appreciate some of those programs. But some of those programs, again, they talk about the strength within you and the support of others. This arm of flesh, the Bible tells us, will fail you. Let Jesus do the cleaning. Let Him do the transforming. You know, if He transforms a pig, He's not a pig anymore. He's a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If he transforms the dog, he's not a dog anymore. He's a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And most of us, right. He makes a hog a sheep. He makes a dog a sheep. And most of us can testify of that. Because we've seen ourselves as that dog. We've seen ourselves as that pig. And he made us a sheep. Going back to Luke 15. He went out and he left the 99 and he went out to find that one lost sheep. And he brought us back into the fold. He brought us into the fold. And what a blessing that that is. While looking at the swine, don't miss the prodigal. I don't understand it all. I know it's a fine line. I found myself guilty of not wanting to go talk to them. Not wanting to do for them yet again. Because they don't seem appreciative. Like brother, when Brother Kenny was testifying, the statement Brother Shepherd made said, yeah, just let the cities burn down. They've set them on fire, let them burn. How many people will perish if we just let them burn? How many people will perish that we could have reached if we just let them burn? There's nothing but pigs out there, but how many prodigals are down around the pig pen that can be reached? God help us. I'm praying for new eyes. I'm praying that I'll pull that beam out of my eye and see clearly and have some discernment on who I should take the gospel to. Who will receive it or who? Well, actually, it doesn't give us that option in that scripture. We're to take it to everybody. But if they don't receive it, then we're to dust our feet. And then one of the, I can't get the exact quote, but there was a quote by Charles Spurgeon that basically said, why take the gospel to a person a second time, something along these lines, when there's so many people that haven't even heard it the first time? So we're to still take it. And we're still to know that not everybody's going to receive it. There are some dogs out there. There are some swine out there. But we're still to take it because we know that there are some prodigals out there. I looked up that word prodigal. We use it all the time. It's not in the Bible. It just says a lost son. Prodigal in the adjective form is spending money or resources freely and recklessly, which is what he did. He spent all. So in the noun is a person who spends money or resources freely or recklessly. So that's the word prodigal. The Bible just says a certain man had two sons. The younger, he went, after he got it all divided, he wasted it. And that's why he's called a prodigal. He wasted it on riotous living. A wasteful person. So that's lost son. The word prodigal has been given to him. He spent money and resources recklessly. So many people have tried to reach folks, reach you, and you're just recklessly saying, I appreciate it, but please don't reject it. Child of God, church, help us. Help us, help us, help us, help us all to get our eyes off the swine and to look for the prodigal. And to go one more time. And maybe they'll see their need for the bread that's in the Father's house, which is the bread of life, Jesus Christ. But they've got to come to the end of themselves. We can't do that for them. They've got to get to that place where they're tired of the mire, where they're hungry for the bread. I can't do that for you if you're here at the sloth today. I cannot do that for you. I can simply say there's bread at the Father's house. There's blessings
at the Father's house.
Can you imagine? Let's just go back to Luke 15. Grab that real fast. I'm still earlier than I normally am. Verse number 17, "And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare?" Not only did they have enough bread, but they had leftovers. "And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." "And are no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Now this is a man that had been at the all bin. Nothing said that he stopped by the river and cleaned himself up. He still had the mire of this world on him. "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." What did the father do? Say, go clean yourself up? Go get a haircut? No, he didn't say that. "The father said to his servants, bring forth not just any robe, the best robe, and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. And shoes on his feet." He's seen himself worthless. He's seen himself not worthy to be called a son, but just to be a servant in the house of God, in his father's house. But the father seen him as worthy. The father still seen him as a son. Put the best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. And lots of times back then, it was a signet ring, which gave identification with the family. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and make merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. He sees himself as worthless, unworthy to be called the son. And that's where the sinner needs to see himself. I don't deserve Jesus Christ. I don't deserve the blood and the body that was shed for me. I am a sinner, and I'm in this muck and mire. I'm hungry. You can find satisfaction in the Father's house. Bread and blessing. And that's my message today. Heavenly Father, I thank you and praise you for the day. God has been scattered. It's just been heavy on my heart. I know I've been guilty of withholding the gospel to what I thought might have been a dog, what I thought might have been a swine. The Lord, it could have been a prodigal. And as was mentioned the other day by Brother Hardin, I believe in his message, there'll be blood on my hands when I stand before the judgment seat of God, because I failed to give the gospel to those that have gone on to their reward. Probably died lost, and my lips were sealed because I thought that they were a swine. I counted them as a dog. I prejudged them. God, forgive me, I pray. And I pray for the church here at Sooner Rose that you would help us all as children of God to be very careful to withhold the gospel from those that are without. But Lord, we do understand that if they don't receive it, Lord, help us to dust our feet and take it to those that will. But help us to be faithful to at least give it to them once. And I ask and pray that you be with the one that's here lost and without Christ this morning. God, please convict them. Please draw them. Please help them to see that there's bread in the Father's house.
that there's blessings in the Father's house. God, they can't clean themselves up, but You can clean them. They can't save themselves, but You can save them. And I pray that You'd show them that this morning. And I ask and pray these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen. If I have a song of invitation.